Yeah, this is literally what Jay-Z does. He presses record and he makes art. We make this podcast.
This is art.
It's not good.
It's something. It's something.
It doesn't have to be good.
It's something. So, you know what sucks is I actually started getting traction on YouTube like 2 weeks ago. Like YouTube's like, oh, these guys are consistent. And then that's when we just cut our shit off. So
they'll get back to us, man. They know it's fucking holiday season.
It's political season, man. That's what it is.
Politics.
Oh, it's football season. Fucking, I'm a spectator in my own league. I love it.
Your fucking Bengals cost me. How is there not 1 week fucking grace?
Yo, I try to lobby for 1 week grace and one mulligan. Like give everyone two strikes instead of one.
Yeah.
And then Seth Bunch was fucking anti at Guggen. He's like, nah, it has to be hardcore. These guys are they all know what they're doing. I was like, yeah, they might. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just picking the team that whose jersey has colors and animals I like. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I'm burned. I'm out. Cincinnati.
You know what sucks about the Cincinnati game even worse?
Within the first like 3 weeks.
Yeah. The Bengals had two chances to close that game out. Like open shot, 30 kick, extra point, 30 foot extra point. Fucking brick that.
Dude, that... punt block or that field goal block was fucking dagger, man. That just hurt so bad.
Then the other one, he was in like range. He was like 46 feet out or 46 yards out, and then he just like whiffed the entire net.
Yeah, well,
even the announcer was like, "Wow, that's a weird one. Never seen someone miss that bad before."
Sanj, who burned you today?
My Indianapolis Colts. So it's even worse. It's a team I fucking support as well.
Can't ever bet on your own team. Everybody knows that. Oh, yeah, you're an idiot, Shinda. You too.
I'm like, we'll beat the Steelers. Easy division rivalry.
You got to be dispassionate. Dispassionate gambler.
Either way, we're recording.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, shit. Did we just bait out that we have, like, gambling addictions and shit? I heard it cost another politician his career. We got to be careful.
Just talking? What's the show about? It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
All right. There's a snare drum in there. Yo, Sanj. Welcome for... thanks for joining us today, man.
No worries, man. Sorry I missed you guys last time. Had the vid.
Give yourself a bit of an intro so Shinda knows what to put underneath your name and picture.
Wait, I gotta redo the whole friggin' template now.
There you go.
That's
good. I'm Sanj, mortgage broker and fantasy football loser extraordinaire. That's pretty much it right now. I haven't really won ever in fantasy football. I just keep taking shit kickings and I love it. Apparently I'm watching Brady fuck me up right now too. So that's fun. That's all I got right now, boys.
You sound like every mortgage holder right now. Getting the ass kicked out of
him. I got trigger pointed on my fucking fantasy team, man. Forget about my mortgage. That's the least of my problems.
Oh, shit. Robbie straight for the jugular. Sanj, man, you've become quite the talking head on Twitter. Good for you. Fuck,
this guy's having lunch with Ron the mortgage guy.
Yeah, man.
Talking about Ron the mortgage guy. You see his latest tweet?
Nah.
No.
He literally used it's quite the mini Tukti Nikolgi moment out here.
He said Tukti Nikolgi?
Nikolgi.
Yeah, we have lunch a couple times. He's a good dude.
He said mini Nikolgi moment.
Who's his brown influence? Like,
Sanj,
he's
right
pretty,
here.
He's dude, pretty, dude, like, he's Nikolgi? Cultured.
I was
he's
in a
cultured.
Meeting when I saw that.
Hold on, he said that on Twitter? I gotta read this.
I'm gonna share you with this tweet right now. It's hilarious, but yeah.
Yeah, I retweeted it earlier.
Quite the moment that he's learning these things from Sanj.
He's occasionally tweeting about cafe and stuff. I can... Yeah. Either confirm or deny if I taught him a bunch of Punjabi swear words last time we had lunch. I did take him to Luri Haveli, though, so it could have been the waiter that was teaching him that stuff while I was gone.
Yeah. You kept it professional, right?
To a degree.
All right, man. Let's jump right in this thing. What the fuck? Robbie, Can you still afford your vacations? 75-point jacked up on the 7th?
Who said I could afford them in the first place?
Once a month, but now does that change your lifestyle?
I think about it. Is that a good... I'm thinking a little bit, yeah? Looking at the... Sorry, what was that?
I was going to say, he just keeps rolling it into HELOCs, man. HELOCs yeah, on wish. HELOCs on HELOCs over here.
They're banning HELOCs.
They're going to ban them.
They were proposing removing them because they said unsavvy investors are over-leveraging in them.
I think...
Every time something like this happens, they go back to the regulator and say, change this, change that, and nothing really happens. I mean, now you've got lobbyists coming after them for extended amortizations and things like that. It's not going to happen. It's wishful thinking on everybody's part.
Yeah, but like...
I mean, if you think about banning HELOCs, like...
They're an easy target, man, because you think about these uncles that are working, you know, factory jobs. They aren't accredited investors whatsoever in the sense, like, they're not sophisticated. They don't have investing knowledge. But they'll get their HELOCs. They'll have their agent pushing like four or five pre-cons. They're throwing out deposit money. And, you know, they are part and parcel of why the market is, like, not solely, but just, you know, they're one of the many factors in what the market was at its peak. So how do you control that? Like, there was a lot of HELOC money in the market, you know? A lot of people are throwing it around and becoming investors overnight just off of that. So maybe like not, you know, stopping HELOCs, but how do you regulate that market?
It's hard, man. Like, I mean, the HELOC isn't the convict or the criminal in that conversation. It's, should we not be regulating the real estate sales cycle a little bit more? Should we not be looking at pre-construction purchasing a little bit more intently, right? Rather intensely. Should we not be considering the different purchases that people are doing? For example, you'll get people that take a one pre-approval and they'll go buy four or five pre-construction properties with it. Yeah, they're going to use HELOC savings, whatever, to make their deposit structure payments. But if it's not a HELOC, then you're just going to come to me for a private mortgage and you're going to go YOLO that money into it, right? What's the difference? I had a guy call me for, I'm not going to tell too much in terms of detail, but he came to me for not a first, not a second, and it was for private money to pay deposits on his pre-construction properties. He had five of them, and he was trying to pay them all off his primary residence. And when he came to me, this was May, he was already negative equity from his existing mortgages on the property. He was willing to pay 30% interest.
I mean, it's easy to pay money.
You tell me HELOC that's doing this shit? Exactly.
What's right? why doesn't want to lose? He just wants to hold on. Like, why not just say, okay, well, I'm out of my depth here and make an adjustment and offload?
At that point, he was going to lose everything anyway. So he's like, if I can push a little bit further here, kick the can down the road a little bit more, maybe I can assign out and save something. But where he was, if he lost it all, he was going to lose his primary residence and the five pre-constructions. So there's nothing left at that point.
I mean, so you're hearing a lot of these kind of scenarios or stories coming out of the woodwork or, you know, from people like yourself. Is there a tipping point where we say, well, you know, forget the people that are invested heavily like that, but just the general average homeowner is in trouble to the point where we are in a real crash scenario? Is that on the horizon? Is that, you know, is that talk or that conversation overblown, or are we approaching? Are we dipping our toes in that water? Where do you think we stand on that?
I don't think we're there yet. Typically, when you have a rate increase, it takes about 12 months before you really see the effects of that rate increase at the market, right? So we're still some time away from that, about 6 months away from that threshold. And then we also have, what, five increases that happened after that. So we still have another year before we feel the effects of today's or last week's 75 basis points, for example, right? And when you factor those kind of variables into the situation, currently people that are stretched, they're trying to rent out their properties, they're trying to rent out rooms, they're increasing the rent, whether legally or illegally, on their tenants to make up the difference on their mortgages. once those kinds of things kind of fall out of the way, fall down by the wayside as far as options go, then you're going to start to see shit hit the fan a little bit more. I mean, trigger rates, trigger points, that's one thing. We still got those small B lender renewals, right? Guys that have 1-2 year terms that they got on 2-3% a year ago, they're going to be renewing at 6-7% on renewal date. You're straight up doubling your interest rate. Your payment may not immediately double, but it'll be close to a double payment, right? So now what does that mean for you in terms of your household cash flow situation? It turns it on its head completely, right? And those guys that have, let's say, 1, 2, 3 properties, whatever it is, and they're renting out units or they're renting out basements or they're renting out the property as a whole and trying to just kind of kick the can down the road. Look, we have so many people doing that, throwing properties on the rental market right now. I was looking at the map for Chilliwack. I'm headed out to BC soon, so checking in on the Fraser Valley, see what's happening out there. And it's just insane the amount of rental inventory available. It may seem like it's light here right now, but it's only a matter of time before all that inventory hits and kicks the price down a little bit, and slowly but surely it all comes down on crashing in terms of the rental market. Once that happens, if you can't get the rent to cover, you don't have the personal cash to be able to top up there and make it even, what are you going to do? You're going to sell something, whether it's your car, your watch, the 5 Rolexes you bought off your HELOC, whatever the hell it is, you're going to sell something. Eventually, it's going to be that house, and we're going to see all that inventory come back to the resale market. What people seem to think is that, sorry, Ranjith, I'll get to that in a second. What people seem to think is that just because I don't sell, my house is still worth the $2.5 million I think it's worth, but you're not the price setter. It's the one guy that's forced to sell on your street that is a price setter. On the way down, you only need one sale to fuck up the comps in the entire neighborhood. On the way up, you need 3 for your shit to appraise and for you to get your financing where you need it to be. So it's really all relative to what's actually happening day to day next door to you.
Yo, that'd be a friggin' balling move. Say you wanted the house across the street from you and they're listing at 1.5. You lower your house sale, sell it, buy their house, and buy your shit back because you sold it to a friend just to lower the fucking mark. That'd be a baller.
Sell it to your buddy with the condition in there, or let them have mutual, mutual lease. Don't even sell it to them. At the end, they're going to sell because of the comp. It came through, right? So you can get the price that you're looking for. But there's still a lot of people holding on.
Only the people that, you know, if you're living in your own home and you have a mortgage that sucks on your own house, you'll get by. It's really the people who have multiple properties who are really stretched to the limit and they can't find renters. The rent prices aren't going to cover.
I just don't understand people who thought 2% was going to last or 1% was going to last.
But I mean, you're saying the multiple investors, but how about just the person who, let's say, got a mortgage by a certain means and had no business getting that amount of money, and now this interest rate's gone up, and just your average non-investor. I'm worried about those people.
I'm getting phone calls about how to sue. People want to sue their mortgage broker for getting them a mortgage that they can't afford.
Wow.
Do they even have the paperwork to get that lawsuit?
That's not easy to do. But people want to know if they can do it. They're pissed. I've got 2 calls.
Buddy, they were begging their mortgage agent for those GTM before. Like, Photoshop.
Photoshop.
They were begging that. I remember. Look, man.
They knew I couldn't afford this mortgage. They told me, don't worry.
I always feel like it's the other way around. I always feel like it's not that they didn't know they couldn't afford it. It's they knew they couldn't afford it, and they wanted it done anyways.
So, regardless
that's usually how it goes.
Regardless of fault, those individuals that do have them, aren't they in trouble? I mean, to tell someone to pony up, let's say, an average of $10,000 more a year in a fixed income is a scary proposition in my mind. Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Forget the investors. They knew what they were doing, right? They knew they couldn't afford it anyways. But, you know, the person, like you said, you know, these people that couldn't believe that it could stay at 2. I mean, it's been like that for how many years, right? I don't think anyone expected the increases to happen as rapidly as they have. I think that's not me.
About it last year. Like, yo, the rates are going to double back up in a year. And
yeah, 2 years. I mean, we said that. But I don't think the general population has that assumption, right? We're talking about people who are mad at their mortgage agents, but I think we're not well-versed as a public in these matters, and there's people that get taken advantage of because they just want to get into the market. I mean, isn't
I agree
that
with that. Like, I
90% of,
know
isn't that
no
90% of our
grants.
friends? Like, who really understands what they're doing? They're like, oh, I got approved, I bought a house. But yeah, what if the interest rate was, you
You
know, X
yo,
amount
but
higher? Could you afford it?
in the defense of the general public, man, like we're all more or less about the
This
same
politician.
age.
Look at
Vote for me. Anyways, I'm gonna say that throughout what I'm about to say. Vote for me.
guy.
But we're all about the same age. So throughout our lifetime, like we were too young to remember what the interest rates were like in the 90s, okay? What our parents had to pay. So but ever since we've known interest rates, let's say the Harper era, actually a little bit,
2006,
maybe even before Harper era, they've been
06,
pretty low. They've been pretty
yeah.
low. Let's say 4 or 5%, okay? Much lower than what our parents ever had to pay back in the 90s, and they've only got lower. So the financial literacy that people of our generation have has always been like we've been conditioned to expect low interest rates. We don't know what life is like at 10%, which is not outrageous about what it
No.
was, 30 years ago. It was fine. People were getting by. And house prices were lower, but still, like that's normal. That's not outrageous. There's a precedent set for it. And we're just getting back to that now. So it's fine. One part, realtors pushing properties that people can't afford, they want their commission. Carrot at the end of their stick. There might be, a broker or two. Sanjay can be extra nice to brokers today, mortgage brokers. There might be a broker or two, who is a bad apple and pushes a mortgage that's kind of predatory with like really bad private, knowing that his clients or his or her clients will have to pony up someday, soon, within a year or so. But like generally, the public only knows what they've seen for the last 20 years or so. The interest rates won't go past like 5%. I should be able to handle it. My 5 grand a month income should be fine to handle two properties.
You know what's fucked is
Like,
you say like 20 years ago, and I'm like, yeah, but what about 2008? I'm like, holy shit, 2008 was a while back. The
yeah,
fact but
that people
what
already
yeah.
have like amnesia of 2008, that's when
Ever
the
since we've had
American.
money, ever since we've had our own money from our part-time jobs, we've only known low interest rates. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not, but
That's
let's say,
true.
but the housing prices is the problem. It's the actual price of the house relative to your incomes. That discrepancy has never been this big. I don't think so. You
That's
know,
all,
if
that's
you're talking
also
about.
true.
You know, if you're talking about the early 90s, well, if a house was, let's say, 180,000, a semi-detached, you know, a person's making 50, fine. But now, do the comparison. It's not even close. The same person making 70 is getting a proof for a $1.8 million house somehow, some way.
Yeah, that's because of cheap money, man. And like, what else is government ever supposed to do? Like, there was this retreat out in BC. Like, the liberals went there. Apparently, housing and all that's on the market. What can they actually do other than letting the Bank of
Nothing.
Canada do what they want? They can't do anything.
They can't do
Like,
nothing.
if they'd ever did anything to regulate free market, people lose their minds. Like, and they should, because fine, it might be like great for now, but that's setting a bad precedent. You can't have government come and interfere with free market.
But here's the problem with the whole free market notion, right? We say free market as in you can't, they don't want government intervening in that. But the government controls who can build, how much can be built, what can be built. They do set, kind of control what the free market can't like do in terms of its own scalability.
I mean, look, I'll give you an example today. You guys probably might have seen it, but I think it was just before the rate increase or the day of, I think it was Mattamy Homes. It's some big builder. They shut down
Yes,
pre-construction
it was
offices.
Matamy.
It
Was
was,
it
right?
Mattamy? What
They
they
shut down
do?
the pre-construction offices
Oh.
and they were going to repackage their prices and come out like a week later or so with new prices and everybody expecting the prices to drop on these pre-cons. So if that's not free market regulating itself in response to these fucking rate hikes by the Bank of Canada, then I don't know what is. Like that is like fucking what's supposed to happen. It's we've got to suck it up for those of us who can. And for those of us who can't, you guys are the people that we'll be talking about as a lesson to our children and friends and family.
On a side note about Mattamy Homes, have you guys heard that these guys are now building houses inside of warehouses? Like they're Lego blocking this stuff so that they can go right to the site and get it all up quickly?
Oh, like
So,
pre-cons like pre-made homes,
oh yeah,
basically.
homes. That's
Yeah,
they're
they're
even our
prefabbing
neighborhood.
stuff and.
Yeah, I mean that's called modular housing. It's been around for a while. I didn't know Mattamy started doing that, but like even Shindao, where your parents live, I live, that whole neighborhood was built up like to a degree that way. If you look at all the the roofing, all that stuff was pre-framed in a warehouse and it was just dropped off and they slap it together right on site. I mean, how do you get a house out of the ground, full framing structure done within like 2 days? It's like insanity to think about how quickly they were getting that stuff done.
Well, the fact that they're at that scale is kind of crazy to me. I'm like, holy shit, these guys, because you always hear about how China's got that level of speed and they're doing hospitals and full on like apartment buildings and complexes just like ready to go. I'm like, yeah,
that's because they run like 3 or 4 shifts 24/7, right? Yeah, that's different.
Yeah,
that's the benefit of slave labor to a degree. But
yeah, how the hell is IKEA not building homes?
Yeah,
they got all the engineering. Think of the prefab.
No, man, it comes flat pack. You gotta build it with an Allen key.
Imagine a friggin' IKEA Allen key for a friggin' house.
Yo, IKEA those screws. Oh man.
Oh, dude. 2 years later, you're still.
Yeah, I have to use wood glue on those locks because they always pop out.
I just give up on it and just.
I just take that's a that's too much. That's too much time, Randy. Like you go.
That's glue when and I everything. Upgrade to a grown-up furniture at some point.
Oh, look at Mr. Fancy.
Yeah, love, his vacations. You're struck too.
That's a struck tube.
I bet we are getting revenue money from YouTube, and you guys are Shop sharing struck with me
now, right?
yeah, exactly. You guys are struck tube and EQ.
That's why he's running for trustee, right? He's not getting his YouTube money.
The YouTube money is the YouTube checks never clear. That's all I'm saying. Apparently, for YouTube, you gotta like work your ass off before you start seeing a dime. Our 39 subs here are not cutting it. So be sure to subscribe and like and tell your friends.
Because we want to time getting into the real estate market about 12 months from now.
My so biggest please. Regret, though, is like 2008 Florida homes, right? Like I knew a bunch of people buying Florida townhomes for like 150, some guys 75 grand for a townhome because they were just like brokerage clearance sales. And at that time, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to instead put a down payment on a condo here. And now those same fucking townhomes are being sold for like $700,000. I'm like, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020, man.
But now I'm kind of like, will we get that moment here? Should we be ready again? I just don't think we're not going to see a 2008 scenario at all. Like we talk about what's the worst case, like.
Okay, so where do you think, let's do it this way. Where do you think a detached 2,300 square foot house will be in Brampton?
In what?
In the next 2 years. Next 2 years.
Sanj, take it away.
Sanj, go. What do you think? What's your prediction?
Don't you just love the question? Paji, 100 rate ki hogi. Ki rate, huh?
Did we lose him?
I mean, he's frozen and just smiling at us. So I'll go first, right?
He's gone.
he's like, that exceeds my... Okay?
My professional reputation on the line. Bounce.
It's when you realize who you're sitting with, right?
Yeah. I'll go. I think 750. It'll be 750.
Whoa. Wow. What's it right now? 1.2?
I mean, I think we're flirting with like 1.9 million something. But yeah, I think the average 2,300 townhouse or detached?
No, detached. Let's go detached because that makes detached. It easier.
Yeah, let's say 800, 850.
How about you, Shinda?
I think prices are just going to be where they were 2 years ago or 4 years ago. Just take price of a house was.
We're at 2021 right now. We're heading towards 2021.
For 5 years, that was the dip 5 years ago. Remember, there's a dip in 2017?
Yeah. I think that's where you're going to find
So I'll go 850. I think
anyway. 900. Yeah, 850, 900.
850. Barely. Yeah. 850 barely. Not over asking.
I mean, I'm at that point where I think there is doom in the market for everyone who bought it in February. But for people who bought 2018, 2019, maybe even 2020, I don't think you're gonna see your shit dip below.
No, but it depends on what they've been doing, right? If they've been taking a lot of consumer debt and they've just, you don't know their personal finances, right? No, you don't know what they've been saving.
And I think that said, it only requires the lowest price out of your home to really reset those prices.
I really do think it's that personal spending we're overlooking, right? People still spending money like nothing's happened, right? New cars, shopping, travel,
running for people trusty.
People taking vacations.
I'm car shopping and I'm going on vacation next week.
Pilot lessons. What are you learning how to fly a plane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that'll be the that's going to be the one when you see the Instagrams. Oh, he's back. No, he's not.
Interactive-ish. Sorry
Oh,
about that, guys.
I'm just happy it's not me
Can
today
you
with the bad internet. It's sad.
guys hear me? Yeah, Sanj. We let's also help out Sanj
Just
with
a
the
very,
internet.
very poor first impression, right? Please, Simba, come fix
Yeah,
my
no.
computer.
We're gonna start a GoFundMe and get you a better internet package for sure.
We haven't gotten Robbie a better internet
Didn't sign
package
me
yet.
one.
Yeah.
Robbie's tethering to his shit half the
Maybe
time.
it's a Mac thing. You're on a Mac too, aren't you, Robbie?
It's a Mac thing. I think it's a Mac thing.
Yeah, this guy's on a
He
Sanji, you're on a Mac
has
too.
AirPods. Must be.
Yeah, he has AirPods on. So, yeah. So, what's your prediction?
Apple fanboy.
You kind of ran away. What's your prediction?
Where are we gonna? What's the doomsday dip?
I don't know what you guys are asking me about here because it cut out before that.
2 years, 2,300 square foot house detached in Brampton. Where's your what's your prediction on price?
Shit, what are those? A new build?
No, just existing
Hmm.
homes.
What are those even going for right now? 2,300 square feet. That's probably like 1.5 right now.
No, 1.2, it's
Oh,
a
1.2-ish. Yeah, maybe
1.2-ish,
even
yeah.
1. Yeah.
1.2. Okay. 2 years from now? 1 or 1.1. Somewhere in that window.
Oh, he's optimistic.
Yeah, maybe we're.
We're just the fuckers who
This
wanted to
fog is like.
crash.
Yeah, burn.
Oh, I
Mr.
did go
Burns.
crash before that. I
We're
did
miss
go
all
to
Mr. Burns. Like,
X.
yes,
I
excellent, excellent.
think. You know what the fucked up thing is? As
No,
much
I
as
did
I
go
say
come
that,
down
I was
before
like, I don't even have
that,
money to buy the dip, right? It was like, well, what'd you do with it? I'm like, and then I'm not even into real estate. I'm like all into the other assets classes. So it's kind of like, even if it does dip, I don't know if real estate's going to be what I'm going to be buying up.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no.
there's better assets to buy in real estate as well than Brampton detached homes or fucking even Toronto condos or anything in the GTA. Like,
I just don't like
I
dealing with
mean,
people and
shit.
having to collect rent.
What would you, where
That's
would you
fair.
invest? What would you do? What would be your advice?
I'm looking at small town Canada, some US major cities. So, for example, Buffalo. Most people shit on Buffalo. I do too. It's an armpit of the USA, but at the end of the day, cap rates are all that matters, right? So you look at like a fourplex in Buffalo, four units, you probably get around $150,000. They rent out for about $1,500 a month each. Your mortgage for 150 grand after your down payment is probably something like $900. One unit is paying your mortgage, property tax, and everything. Three units are profit. There you go. That's an easy cash flow opportunity. You can get similar things like that in like Saskatoon, Regina, Ottawa, smaller towns in Canada, smaller secondary cities in Canada, for example. The main thing though is just being driving distance to whatever it is, right? Like at least like Buffalo, you could be there in 2 hours. It's not the end of the world. Ottawa, you can be there in 3, 4 hours. It's not the end of the world, right? If you had to go down kind of thing. In those types of asset classes as well, you get nice prop. I mean, at that kind of cap rate, it doesn't even matter that you're paying them.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, but I gotta say, man,
Percent of
it
gross every month, like whatever. Who gives a shit? You're still cashing out so much, right?
Sanji's internet's so bad. Oh my God.
He cut out there.
It makes my look fast.
I got a hot
He's like,
spot, man.
this guy's
What did he
tethering.
say there, Ren?
He's spitting some hot knowledge.
Randy's
What
trying to take
is
notes,
like,
and it's like when you're on a class and you know the thing's gonna be on the exam, and you're like, I.
yeah.
Yo, did you get? Did you, I'm looking at you guys. Did you get that? Yo, give me your notes after class. I missed
1,500 Buffaloes,
Buffalo
Saskatoon.
quadplex.
Does he have addresses? And then he's all garbled. Oh, man. But yo,
Yo, but I used to.
let me hotspot to my laptop.
That's fine. But I mean, I heard him talking about driving. But Randy, you own a plane, don't you? So you can fly to these places.
It's a hop, scop, and a hop,
Yeah,
skip,
there
and
you go.
yeah,
Little
not a
Cessna, you're
big
good to
deal.
go. Yeah.
But I gotta say, it sucks to be a residential landlord. It's the
It
worst.
does.
And I like if someone wants to be a pain in your ass, they can be, and it's just not fun for the investor. Then you just start rethinking if this is worth it or not. Like that, $2,000 cash flow kind of sucks when your lease is up and your tenants aren't paying rent and they aren't moving out, and then you have to apply to something called the landlord tenant board to get them out.
But that's only Ontario, right?
You would think that, but every province, more or less, from what I know, like BC, I know for sure. I think Alberta as well. They're all kind of favor tenants in that sense. I don't know if they
Alberta
have the same backlog.
Not as much. Alberta is very liberal.
Yeah.
And what I've heard is the U.S.
No, many places in the U.S. are oh, really, really, really bad. They're just like Ontario. Yeah. They're tenant-friendly.
Cali's terrible.
I like how you Michigan get by terrible, like you mean tenant rights are very...
But it's very
like,
easy.
Oh, people are protected. That was scumbag places. Look at these conservatives. And this guy's like, no, they're very liberal. They're very...
You know what? Those tenant skewed rules are fine if there's a body that function efficiently. So that means that if you know, you get to a situation where someone's overstaying and they're not leaving, then you can serve a notice and get them out in 30 days. Then your hit is about 1 month worth of rent. Okay, so if you're a landlord, that's a business risk. But like, what happens when it's a year? Or a more fucked up situation, your lease is up. You tell the tenant, hey, look, the lease is up in 2 months. I'm going to sell the place in 2 months. You're going to leave, right? They'll say, yeah. Okay, you sell the house. You promise something called vacant possession to the new buyer. Day of closing, the tenant says, I'm not moving. Up yours. Now you have a hostile tenant and you're going to get sued by the new buyers for not giving... vacant possession, and you're in the situation where, let's say, this is your basement guy and you know this is your primary property, you needed that money to buy the next house, but your sales are going through, so those sellers are also suing you. You got double fucked,
because you were a scumbag
tenant,
landlord.
This tenant isn't going to move.
That's because you're a scumbag landlord.
What's your recourse? You go to the LTB, which isn't going to hear your matter for like 2-3 months.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to announce you should vote for Ranji Dhaliwal, the man of the people. Always taking
your
side.
The man of the landlords.
Dude, I'm just saying. This, I know. It would have been good. Yeah, vote for me.
We don't call him the ticket dog for nothing, right?
Vote for me. me. But look, like the system.
Ranji's smart enough to know that most renters don't vote.
It's that situation where you think the system has these rules and it'll work and it'll mitigate all these situations, but it's not working as it was intended to.
Mm. Right? See, this like, is where you run into the problem.
Professionals,
it not
man.
Working for?
Damn it.
I mean, look, if you... That's a good question. If the landlords give you a place to live, upkeep is right, agreeing to the terms, and now you just don't want to pay rent, that... in itself is not something. I mean, what's the discussion there? What's your argument on that, Shinde? If the renter, what's the argument? You didn't pay rent. Okay, I give you a month. I give you 2 months. Now you're squatting.
I mean, it's framing the question, right? Because you're framing the question as in a guilty scumbag renter. Let's rephrase it to a scumbag landlord who is all of a sudden not paying more on his mortgage rate, and he is trying to raise rates.
But that's where the LTB being tenant friendly comes in, and then you're good. In that situation, the system as it is right now is great. Your landlord tries to increase rent on you, you'll be like, hey, if that's not, you know, market and like as per the residential tenancy act, something like that, because there's a certain markup that they can do each year, then you don't pay it. They can say you owe me like $500 more or $1,000 more, but you can keep paying your old rate. They'd have to take you to the LTV to force you to pay that. They can't evict you. So what can they do? So the current system
So they should be able to make me homeless until they can figure out what
they can.
He's guilty
they can, of? They can make
I'm
you
just
homeless.
Saying, I'm just saying,
they
should
can
they
make
be
you
able
homeless.
To?
Yeah,
I'm just
get
saying,
out
should
here.
They be able to? Get is what you're arguing. You're arguing they should be able to.
They can't.
Fight the power, Shinde. Fight the power. Fight the power, bro.
Man, landlord is come. Let's just own it, right?
You're legit a landlord, too.
Listen, man. I'm also the guy that says all cops are bastards, meanwhile shaking every cop's hand saying thank you for your service. I'm like on all areas of the spectrum when it comes to my politics.
But look, like it does bug me, and it'll come back to a vote for me. My neighborhood, my wards 3 and 4, the greatest side of Brampton, I have to say.
Landlord heavy region.
My neighborhood, the Ray Lawson area, it exploded.
Very landlord heavy, man.
It exploded. Everybody's Hold basements on. Here are rented.
Are you running for English school trustee?
What? Peel. What's English school?
You oh, know, yes, Peel. North Park Punjabi school trustee.
I'm just saying, exploded. Come on, man.
It exploded. Okay. Thank you. Thanks,
Sunday. Thanks, Sunday, for your.
Yeah. You says the guy who has a dictionary on hand because he doesn't know any words and has to be constantly corrected on this podcast. Thank you for coming out. Anyways.
And there's Randy showing his bullying skills.
Yeah. But yo, so this neighborhood, it exploded its population because every second house, its basement is rented. Yes, it's to upstairs is students in Sheridan, but also a lot of young families who like end up settling here because it was affordable. It's close to, you know, Mississauga, airport, factories, 401, whatnot.
407.
Exactly. So there's a lot of young families here. Not the school the population exploded. Dude, there was one Peel school... elementary school here, the population was so bad they had to build one literally across the street. For at one time, for many years, it was the largest student-wise population public school in all of Peel Elementary. They had to build a second school across the street, literally across the street. Hickory Wood and Ray Lawson Public School.
Yeah, I was always curious why they got two schools right beside each other.
Because this one neighborhood has so many families. They had to accommodate people parking on the street at all times because they know that houses are rented out and they have two cars themselves too.
Let's unpack that for a second though.
Go on.
Go ahead, Regina. Finish that thought.
I'm finishing my thought. Like, we have an explosion of population driven by immigration, young families coming in, but then our institutions don't keep, our school boards can't keep up, our provinces can't keep up, the landlord-tenant board can't keep up with all these new rentals coming up, but the tenant board is still society of 2000.
No one's paying property tax.
What do you mean?
Everyone's got a Godwara at their house, bro. Who's paying property tax?
They've capped that.
Come
they
on. Capped that if it's not registered.
Let's fill in the gaps with that statement just so people aren't confused as to.
So if the house isn't registered and you have a landlord and someone's paying cash, and let's say those people have a family. They're not going to be registered. There's no property tax being paid. And now you need more services such as school, things like garbage, whatever it might be. But there's more people. You don't have the funding.
There's multiple layers of that problem, though, man. Yeah. Like, if you take it right back to the housing situation, one, we have a lack of affordable rentals here. You know, apartments, shit like that, condos. The next purpose-built rental building that's coming up here is on Mill Street, downtown Brampton, right around the corner from... Downtown Go at the corner of Railroad and Mill there. That's going to be, I think, like 300 rental units. What the fuck is 300 rental units in this community? Like, think of the sheer number of people. 300 rental units will cover off like Ranjit Street only if they just wanted to get all the tenants out into a unit for their family size alone.
No, right? I think there should be more legal units. I think the basement just should pay property tax.
We need density, though. We need density. We don't need more units in these residential neighborhoods. We need families to live in those neighborhoods. We need density for the students. We need Sheridan to step the fuck up and build housing for their students, right?
The problem is there is nowhere place. They fucked up completely. There is nowhere to build. Where are they going to build? Up on Winston Churchill? Like,
tear down Sheridan Plaza. Build an apartment complex on there.
I think that's Ranjit's.
So they can't drive around there.
I think that's Ranjit's ward too. Ranjit, do you agree to this?
Leave Sheridan Plaza alone. They are tearing down Shoppers World. Hang on, they're tearing down Shoppers World, and it's condos. All becoming condos. That whole area.
That's not helpful. That's not helpful.
You get the density.
Mom and pop should not be responsible for providing the fucking rental properties, though. At the end of the day, I appreciate it as an investment. I get that side of it, but that should not be our responsibility.
Hold on.
You're building a school with 6,000 international students. That's how many international students Sheridan has.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is it my responsibility to give them housing?
That's a fair point. But
I agree with that.
What? There's no institution in Canada that's really doing it. Universities typically like, actually, I don't even know about my university had a lot of resident student housing. It was full.
Universities do because they have different guidelines.
Like, I don't know if Laurier and like smaller universities did too.
Yeah, They give you first year.
They do have good accommodations, and you have options in the later years. It's just you don't get priority like first year students do, right? But like, yeah, man, universities have different requirements for that. They have different regulations forcing them to provide that housing.
Blind eye? Is that
Pardon me?
what's happening with colleges? That's not there.
Yeah, it's not there. And like the classification of colleges becomes a problem too, because you have these career colleges, which are just student mills. Pump out as many of these bandeja as you can, charge them fucking $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, whatever. Get them here with their fake IELTS certificate and get them on a truck. That's the job, man. That's all they're focused on.
Like that, said the full name. I always say islands.
Yeah, I just go islands. This guy went.
Yeah, but like, you know, like that's causing major problems in our housing situation, among many other things. And talking to the schooling point, like municipalities, regions, for example, especially Peel, they'll go build up a school on expected census data, right, for a neighborhood. For example, Treeline Public School. They look at this neighborhood. Okay, there's about 400 houses here. Every house will have two kids. It was grades kindergarten to 8 at that time period. We anticipate out of all these two kids, 1.5 will be a grade kindergarten to grade 8. All right, that's how many kids we have coming to the school. We need to build a school for 800 people, 600 people, whatever it is. Turns out, within 6 months, half these basements were rented out, and they needed portables. We needed an extension on the school. We needed a second school that they closed down, reopened that place to bus these kids over there in certain grades. Like, it wasn't prepared for it. You look at Caledon, the Caledon East community there on, what is it, Innis Lake, Gorway, and Old Church. Same problem. As soon as the school was made, they had 30 portables outside. Like, guys, forget about the census data and your projections at this point. They're irrelevant. You should be doubling up your number right off the bat in anticipation for the basements that are going to be coming. It's not fucking roads. We can't build one lane at a time. The school's done. Get it done. Get these people in there. Start teaching them. And if you have extra space, well, shit, that's great. You have something you can use for the local community. You have different resources available for the people there. You can do smaller class sizes. You can do different things there. But why are we making them small to begin with, only to realize 6 months later that we need to double the size?
What's really going on is we don't have the diversity inside city council and inside the different boards. So I think a little bit of color who understand their communities a little better should be brought in.
Everybody should pay their property tax, okay, and stop renting these basements.
Those points valid.
You want me honest? But buy smaller houses. Buy Robbie. Smaller houses. Stop buying 6,000 square foot houses and then looking for a basement to rent. All right.
So
I mean, what else is it? Isn't that the simple thing? If we're talking about affordable housing and density, then build houses accordingly.
Seeing the change in this neighborhood, if I want to use, you know, the Ray Lawson neighborhood as, you know, ground zero of what the changes have happened in Brampton, people had illegal basements. Illegal meaning, you know, not up to code. They would just have a basement, rent out rooms, individual. They're like body houses at some point. But now, there's such a drive for everybody to get their basement made legal and up to code, because the city is throwing heavy fines. So, yes, there was a period, Robbie, wherein people weren't paying enough property tax. But that's not the situation anymore.
I don't believe that for a second. I know 10 family members who made their basement 20 years ago. They didn't tell anybody in the city, and they're still going to keep renting. Someone's going to rent their upstairs bedrooms. They're not going to pay more property tax.
Harder and harder to get away with now.
In new builds.
We got to put a tracker on Robbie's car and go to every single family function he goes to and just start slapping out fines.
They hired one guy. The city of Brampton hired one guy whose sole job is to find illegal basements. One guy.
I get people complain on all the time.
But there's one guy leading the charge.
Neighbors for having illegal basements, and that spooked everybody. People are getting hefty tickets, and that's everybody.
Still not enough. And you know what it is? I think they should change it to like what I experienced in the UK. You pay your own tax. So if you live in the ward and you have an address, you pay your own tax. That's it. You use the services, you pay the tax, right? So if you're registered to live somewhere, you pay the tax. It shouldn't go to the landlord. That's the way I think of it. And everybody would pay, and the city would be okay. But you can't have a property tax of X amount, have 30 people living in the house, and think that is that's the way the city's gonna survive. I don't see it happening.
It really grinds my gears when people park on their lawn because they have like 5-6 cars on a 2-car drive.
Why should what lawn? It's paved over by concrete.
Yo, man, they're pretty strict on that building code right now.
Yeah, they're going after people.
I know a lot of people who had to like who built those driveway extensions only to have to put like pillars and little things up because the city didn't want anyone parking there.
Yo, the concrete guys are no better, man. My guy was like, "Pa, ji, kar do koi gal nahi, gaddi park ho ji." I'm like, "Nah, bro, I'm good. Kar lo koi gal nahi." I was like, "No, I'm not gonna get a ticket just because you want to pour more concrete."
I told my guy to go to the line, like flirt with the bylaw and stop there. Like, just take me to the edge. That's where I want. So that's what I did. I need this space. Guy, just want to take me to the edge.
I know. We did all ourselves and we're playing games with it too.
Yeah.
I had a completely different dope band, Queen Marquee.
Great segue.
That's literally the line I have here, Queen Marquee.
There's 10 other points there, but that's the one you picked. Cool.
Yeah, I'm like, at the time, man.
It's a big deal, man.
Do we call her Her Royal Majesty? How are you guys gonna, you know, Queen Elizabeth II has passed away.
Am I out of school to call her the Katijanani?
No, it's a personal choice. This is a good conversation, actually. There's been a lot of divisive or
divisive
views on this. Where do you guys stand on? There's been a lot of anti-monarchy talk after she died, which wasn't technically going on as much when she was alive, which is weird. Let me just point that out. And or are you guys pro-crown? Where do you guys stand?
I feel some ways about what's been going on, but I'll let you give the floor to you guys first.
Let's go, Shinde. Or Sanj. Sanj is ready. He called her Kuti, so let's go there.
I'll take this. Okay. I mean, I feel like people were hot to trot on the subject just because it was fresh on everyone's mind. Everyone was talking about it. It dominated the news cycle. But, I mean, why does anyone care about the monarchy? Like, I see people on Twitter talk about the queen died. We should have... I said it as a joke. I wanted a holiday on September 8th. Just because I'm a fucking Lafunga. I don't want to go to work. Even though I work for myself, right? But, like... Yeah, people are talking about, oh, we should have a day off for mourning. We should be able to take time to mourn. How the fuck are you mourning? Was she your nanny? Was she your mommy? Like, what the hell are you talking about? What do you care? It's just some random person over in England. I understand it's sad someone died, but she was like 96 years old. She's not going to live forever. She is not, despite what they tell you in whatever this monarchy situation is, graced by God to dominate over you and to live forever. She's not. She's a fucking human being who just happens to tell you some bullshit. Your tax dollars are paying for her lifestyle. They have a $50 billion fund or whatever that they accumulated over the years that is exempt from estate taxes and anything to do with that. So what are we doing here, guys? These guys are just getting richer and richer on the backs of taxpayers for nothing, just being born with a Windsor name. Like, this is fucking stupid. It's 2022. We can call cops jackasses now. Why are we still bowing down to the queen? And these people are talking about, oh, man, we got to, you know, respect the queen, this and that. No, fucking shut up, man. If you're so eager to bow down to someone, bow down to me, you fucking loser. That's my opinion of this whole matter.
All right. I don't even follow that.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Of course you are.
Yeah, Ranji, I will be, yeah.
I will be.
Yeah. Ranji has a picture of the queen in his bedroom.
Will not deny it. Reverence only.
We've all carried her picture at one point with the money, right? So
I enjoyed The Crown. The Crown is a great show. I was always Diana.
It's a good show. I just didn't get the angle. He's like, Shinda, she really died in real life. Let me just, anymore.
Well, the show has one more season, I guess, now that they know when they got to wrap it up by. Oh, man. Look, man, I was always Team Diana, so I was always like, fuck The Crown. She's our princess. I don't really care. Like, I love the memes. And then people are like, yeah, but you know, I can't believe you guys are celebrating a human being's death. I'm like, yo, you guys were fucking celebrating Bin Laden's death or the death of your enemies. I just don't chime in with all this kind of stuff. It's like Sam said, her passing does not affect me directly. I do kind of find it weird when like up in Punjabi and Sikh are like, oh no, The Crown. I'm like, Salio, these guys have been attacking us for the last 200 years, and yeah, we're living in their places now and all that. That's probably cool, but it's weird, right? Just kind of like this relationship our community has with the monarchs and the monarchy and bowing down to it. Because the last time, I mean, they fucking kind of were responsible for the extermination of our friggin' kingdom. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird. I want the holiday. Fuck that. I'm grieving 10 days of grief and shit.
Close.
But But yeah, you know what's crazy though? This is what kind of what I found out was in the UK, you can't talk shit about the Queen. Like, people are afraid of losing their jobs, so they're warned, like, yo, don't talk shit about the Queen. Your employers can't fire. It's a fireable offense talking shit about the Crown.
That rules around in many countries that have monarchies, and like, yeah. Thailand, for example, that's very strict. That's, they tell tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's not something that's, you know, unique to the UK. Many countries, monarchies have that in place.
Yeah. So that was kind of fucked to me, because I was like, then I started to bait some UK people into saying something scandalous and shit. Like, yo, thodi janani lagdi si, thodi nani lagdi si. What's up, right? But. Yeah, honestly, it's one of those weird things. I'm like, look, at 96, everyone was like, every year was like, is this the year that she croaks? And it happened, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's devil advocate. I take two views of it. I mean, I'm sure most people share Sanj's sentiments about any monarchy. Why do we kind of need that system anymore? Why does that still exist? So let's put that aside. You know, I mean, there's points that I agree with him, but. Just from a sheer point of a leader for them, not for me personally, but a leader for England, man, she's been, you got to respect a little bit of the hustle, man. All right. She's been through a lot and she still retained her power. People still love her. Her country loves her. From just a hustle standpoint, be it if she's making money or not, man, from World War II and onwards, you look at the history that woman's been through, pretty impressive, right? Just as a human being, aside from politics and so on and so forth.
I really enjoyed seeing the Crown.
The role she played in the world is nuts.
Yeah, like just as a politician, let's just put it that way. Whatever.
Season two of the Crown was a great season. I don't know if we'll ever top it, but yeah, I agree.
So there's that. I do get confused about this whole Kohinoor talk that everybody's going on about, you know, and all this shit. I'm reading online. I'm like, when she was alive, you're quiet. Secondly, the damn diamond's not in her crown; it's in the Queen Mother's crown. And Queen Mom's been gone for a while. And you should be barking this from day one. Keep barking. They're not going to give it back to you. They want it. They want it in their own way. Call it stealing. Call it war. You know, to the victor goes the spoils, as you will. But
are you inciting and insinuating that we attacked the crown?
No. I'm just saying they came into India. They took over. They won their wars and they took what they wanted.
Isn't it in the museum now?
Yeah.
No, it's in the Tower of London. It's in the Queen, and they don't put it in any male crown. It's always in a woman's crown. There's some, what do you call it? The myth behind it. But yeah, man, I don't look at it from a personal standpoint, but I can respect the hustle for a whole country, man. They love her out there. You know, obviously not in Scotland and Ireland as much, but in England,
Ireland memes were on.
The soccer game in Ireland where they're just chanting.
Unreal. Yeah.
But I mean, there's no. It's not real hate. You know, when Punjabis talk about Modi,
that's it.
That's some real hate, right? Like, is more like she represents something we hate. So it's easy just to hate her, right? Mind you, you shop with her face. Her face is on the money we use. Her face is on the coins. Her face is everywhere.
Joke's on you. Right? I use my credit card.
Look, just to go off what you're saying.
Robbie's like, you dumbass. How am I even on this show with you?
Yeah, seriously. Solo bro. Look, there's a couple of sentiments that I agree with. Those being... One, the British, this family was a key part in destabilizing the Sikh Empire, looting and pillaging India, etc. Because we have a bad history with them, right? Them, the East India Company, everything that followed was part of this monarchy's legacy. The monarchy itself, Sanj, I agree with you. Like, it doesn't serve a function. I do like it because with it, we're not American. Like that in its like the system, our government, everything, it really draws that line and it kind of gives us a bit of an identity that's different from our neighbors to the south that I kind of like. But other than that, it doesn't serve any function. Why do we need a monarchy? We really don't.
Doesn't that piss you off though that we're giving
no more than lawyers need to wear robes when they go to court? We could do it in suits or in our kurta pajama at home. But the little bit of ceremony, the little small things do matter as far as image, identity, and even decorum go. It's kind of nice to have. That being said, all this fucking hate against the, you know, when she died, it's against fucking the queen mom. It's distasteful as fuck. I am not celebrating anybody's fucking death. And she is not like Osama bin Laden or some shit like that, okay? There's a very fucking big difference.
She has no power. She didn't have actual powers.
She had nothing. She was a figurehead of a, think of an old, centuries-old corporation that long ago, you know, had great influence as far as, you know, being able to make decisions on behalf of a whole empire. They lost that power long ago. Things were done in their name, but it was the British government that was doing it. It wasn't the Queen's grandma who fucking drew the line between India and Pakistan. That happened to be done by British bureaucrats and government who actually did that kind of stuff, okay? Not her.
It was her father. It wasn't even her.
Yeah,
it
was the British government that kind of pushed that.
On her behalf, or on the crown's behalf.
On the crown's behalf. She just inherited something. It's like shitting on someone. Okay, imagine this.
A rich boy in Brampton.
Who sold their jameen in India.
Yeah.
Came here. But that jameen was stolen. They did kabja on someone's jameen. And families, like, you know, the family that had that jameen is in the gutter, totally disenfranchised. But this guy's here. And he's bought like 3-4 Beamers, 4-5 houses. He's
Lambo truck.
Lambo truck. I'm just saying.
Yo, he was talking about someone,
right? How do you hold that guy accountable?
Are we responsible for the crimes of our fathers? That's the line. Go ahead and hate.
I just want to put a face to it. So when you're actually thinking about it, think of an example closer to home. Because it's very easy to hate someone like that.
Yeah, you can hate Queen Victoria. If you're Punjabi, hate her for sure.
100%. I agree.
There's a couple thoughts, though, that I have in kind of response to what you said there, Ranjit. If you think about it like this, modern day, I guess, there's a modern day serfdom happening as well, right, in fiefdoms. If you look at like a Jeff Bezos, for example, he's taken himself from a regular dude, however regular he was, and made himself to what he is today, right? He's a borderline, going to be a trillionaire at some point, right? Whatever. That is what it is. But he's not necessarily in charge of corporations that are a corporation that's killing people or responsible for the demise of people. Yes, he is running a shit show in terms of the way. Yeah, I know. Kind of, right? But now, if you think about the monarchy, the empire ran right through until like the 60s, 70s, whatever, when they left Africa, when they gave those nations their independence. And how many people died under the hands of the monarchy at that time? Under the hands of the empire at that time?
That's the British government. That's not the monarchy. Then you should hate the government the whole time. Hate the prime minister. Hate every.
I still hate the government.
That was the British government.
I think your hate, the hatred's fine. I just think the minute she dies, it's just everything. You're like, really? Now? Why don't you just hate her when she's alive?
Yeah.
Even the Kohinoor. Let me.
Kohinoor. The Kohinoor's stupid.
Can I go to that?
Kohinoor's dicker goes with spoils, man.
They signed a contract and they got that. How did Maharajit Singh get it? Like, there's a debate on that. He got it, you know, if you take the Sikh view of it, he got it in exchange for giving protection to some like Afghan chief who lost his kingdom and came to him for protection. The other side, another side says that he was torturing the guy's son and saying, give me this jewel and then I'll give you protection and I'll stop torturing your son. Okay. That's the other side. So did he get it by right means? No. Persians have a claim to it too. Yes. Who actually has a claim?
But who cares? Because for us, Maharajit Singh, he treated it like a dog leash. He put it on his horse. What the fuck are we getting so upset about this? It's not like he wore it on his crown. He literally wore it on. It was on his horse the whole time.
That's something to be upset about because it was a flex for him. Like, I don't even give a fuck about this thing. I'm going to put it on my quota and walk away, right?
He's like, it's a flex. Who gives a shit? Why are we so upset about it?
I always thought the whole thing was just silly. It's not like we were going to take better care of it or it's going to be accessible to us. It's probably going to end up in someone's private collection in India.
But also,
Modi would have it right now.
That kind of shit should like be 10 years in each Commonwealth country. Like, it should go back to its, like, whoever has a claim to it, go there for 10 years and come back.
But Sanj had just said that, you know, with the monarchy, Maharajit Singh was monarchy as well. Or he's building a monarchy. You know, when I was in Edinburgh, what, a few years ago, they had Mara Dilip Singh's kade, I guess, the ones that are encrusted in jewels, and there was something of his mother there. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I was like, oh, it's amazing, it's amazing. I'm like, why? He took it from somebody, right? He looted it from people too. He killed and took over other people. These are not like articles of like faith or trophies that we should be like, oh, this is so important to our culture. They're prizes that he won in war
Yeah, he
in
didn't
war
go to the
times. Yeah.
store and was like, I'm gonna
And
buy this.
so, yeah, like, I
He
so
dig it
my
out of the
my
ground himself,
yeah.
right?
So my view on that is kind of like, oh, if we get it back, great. But that's the sword you're gonna die on. Cool, man.
We're
Like,
not
you know,
entitled to it.
I
We're not
mean, yeah.
entitled.
My whole
You
beef
know.
was never. I never really thought that was a big deal. I honestly, when you say why now, why not before? Because the memes are fucking hella good now. If the memes were hella good
Yeah.
last week, I'd have tweeted them last week. Man, it's like the what's her thing, Markle's first name, I forget, whatever. Her showing up as the Undertaker. Like, those memes didn't exist last week, man. That's why they got shared to hell now.
I was
Was a
team
good
Queen
one.
on that side.
Huh?
I was team Queen on that side.
Team Queen.
Megan
Meghan
Markle and
Markle. Nah, man. Team Meghan, team Diana. That just sounded like a
Damn,
bad,
yo,
like,
Ranjit
false
loves the sauce, eh?
Yo, she
Ranjit
looks
loves
like a grandma,
the
man. I
sauce.
can't love it. I can't hate
Randy's like Queen Mom.
Queen Mom. No, she, I mean, I get it. She represents an empire that really fucked over our people. So I would just say, stay quiet on it.
I mean, we're always
I
gonna
didn't want to mourn, but
the
I'm not
losers.
celebrating her
The
death either.
losers. The losers are always gonna hate the winners. You know, we revel in Roman history and say, "Oh, it's so amazing." They're always
Fuck
winners.
you.
It's the truth. We lost. What is that? Not the truth. We
Yeah.
lost. Like, fuck. You know, we're gonna hate on them. They're never gonna think they're good. I mean, we're always gonna hate them. Come on. You know, if we had won, you think the people that we conquered or ever taken over with the Sikh Empire think, "Oh, the Sikh Emperor was amazing." They're probably gonna hate us just as much. Come on.
It's not like the Afghans
Yeah.
love Hari Singh Nalwa for going
I
in to
know. Oh
dominate
man,
the
thank you
empire.
for
Thank
completely
you for,
ruling us with the
yeah.
Iron Fist. We like the Iron Fist treatment. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck. Talking about jewelry and stuff, you guys watched Lord of the Rings?
I've been watching
Not
AI.
the show.
That's a good segue. I like that. That's good.
I
Better
still
than
don't. You don't like my queen much?
Queen
People keep asking me
Queen
what's better, House of Dragons
House of
or.
Dragons by a million
Hold on,
one miles.
I was cued by Shin to ask him, how do you feel about the new show,
Oh,
Lord of the
thank you
Rings?
for asking me in such an
No
organic way.
problems.
It, yo, that show's trash.
Oh,
Like,
two episodes in? One episode? How many did you
three.
watch?
I
I'm
fell
three.
asleep. I fell asleep
Three.
during the first episode. Then I had to
Okay.
start over. That was annoying when you have to start over an episode to see what you missed. And then you almost fall asleep the second time. Look, man, Game of Thrones all day. It's so
Did
much better.
you watch the third one?
I still don't understand when she's fucking going through the clouds and all of a sudden the cloud eats the boat and they're all just standing there and they're like derobing them and she's
It's
like,
like heaven,
no.
man. They're leaving this Middle Earth, going somewhere else.
That
Take
shit
it as
made
a
no sense to me. I'll be honest, I always thought Game of Thrones sucked as a fran not Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings sucked as a total franchise.
Whoa.
I
Even the
thought it
original,
was,
whoa.
yeah, like
Oh,
Lord of the Rings 3, I had to walk out the theater.
two
Finally, you're gonna get
towers.
elected by saying
Huh?
Yeah, I know. It's
Look, man, I'm being honest with you. You want an honest person that you can trust his opinion. Lord of the Rings is horrible. It was a horrible piece of
So third episode I felt like was the best one.
third episode was great.
I watched it, I'm like, okay, now it's a show. There's a
Fuck.
story. I
You're
can actually
really
feel it.
encouraging me. Yeah, I got the ball rolling. It wasn't great, but it got the
Yes.
ball rolling. Yeah.
I don't know why they did the first two like that. They didn't need to. They could have just kind of brought it on slowly, let the characters build a bit, but it's okay. 400 million, they could do whatever they want.
That's how much money they fucking
I
got. It
feel
has
like it's a
very.
tax
It's
planning
the
thing.
most expensive show. One season is 400 million, not like multiple seasons.
It does have a
One
very
season.
like movie vibe to it, like a movie broken up into parts, which is probably cool. But
But
man,
the first two episodes sucked. That was a problem.
they did
Right?
suck, right?
You
You
think it was
agree?
tax planning?
Sorry?
You think it was tax planning? He's just trying to reduce his income.
Yeah,
Oh,
possibly.
he's just
Run a
like, I
loss,
got.
right?
Yeah, why not? He always runs a loss. I will lose on this too. But
Hold on.
no.
Lord of the Rings versus thing, Game of Thrones. You
Dragon?
guys, dragon. I mean, the dragon in Lord of the Rings sucked. The Hobbit.
No. You're talking about House of Dragons versus Lord of the Rings or
No, House of
Game
Dragons
of
versus
Thrones?
House of
Game of Thrones
Dragon
versus.
versus this Lord of the
I've
Rings.
only seen two episodes of House of Dragons. It
Two
feels kind of
episodes
like.
versus two episodes. Two versus two.
Well, and that obviously House of Dragons, but if it's 3 versus 3, I'll have to see. I was very impressed by the third episode. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
Like I felt like, okay, I can finally watch this.
Yeah.
Right. Being let down by the two, it sucked, man. I was anticipating the show for like 2 years. after the first one, I was like, man, visually it's stunning, right? You watch it, visually can't.
No,
you
visually
can't knock
amazing.
It.
I just
yeah.
Maybe it's my attention span, but when it gets this deep into like, I gotta take a notepad and start writing down everyone's like connections and doing little diagrams. Man, fuck you. Game of Thrones really threw me off that way too.
To be fair though, if you're a fan of the books or you're like a fan of the movies,
you'll stick through it.
You stick to it, but they'll say like, you know, like he's meaning Durin, the Prince Durin. Like all these names are really famous within the books and in the movies. You will be inclined to maybe pay attention, but. Yeah, if you're just new to it, that's a bit hard. You know,
you guys read the books?
Yeah, my wife was falling asleep watching it, so
yeah,
that was the litmus test for me if it was going to be a good show or not, because I'm biased. I like the movies. I never watched the books or read the books, but I watched the movies. I loved them all, so I liked the lore, and that kept me engaged through those two episodes because, yeah, it was like the names, the mountain, everything. It was keeping me engaged, right? But for someone who's coming brand new to this, like it was boring, and I understood like the first two episodes sucked, and House of Dragons was a bit better.
Sanj, what do you think?
I have not seen the new Lord of the Rings show because I heard the first two episodes were so bad that I was just like, all right, I'm not watching this.
Episode three is good.
Episode three was good.
Should I just start at episode three and fuck the first two? Move on.
No. You got to give it a chance. It's one of those things.
Fuck, man, that's a big commitment. Two bad episodes just to get to one good one. That's like Breaking Bad. Three bad seasons to get to one good one.
No, hey, Game of Thrones. Hold on.
Game of Thrones. You watch this?
Yo, this guy really just shit on Breaking Bad right here. He said the first two seasons were garbage.
They were slow. Come on.
Compare that to Sopranos. Get out of here.
Breaking Bad was way better than Sopranos. Get the fuck out of here. Don't even compare. Sopranos is overrated. Sopranos
is
Italians. Italians have single-handedly convinced that Sopranos was the greatest show of all time. Sopranos is hot garbage.
No, man.
The rewatchability on Sopranos.
Unreal. I watch Sopranos nonstop. I'm always watching Sopranos.
Yeah, you can throw it on TV. It's like Seinfeld.
Yeah, I've seen Sopranos probably 42 times, start to finish, and it's just like, I'll watch an episode right now. I started season one today. I'll finish the series in like 3 weeks again.
Sopranos is overhyped garbage, man. It doesn't hold up.
I think you should fight.
Freeline Park, 3 o'clock. So, boy.
Yeah.
I'm guessing nobody's watching She-Hulk. She-Hulk, nobody? No.
I want to get on it, but
Vegeta might watch it. The legal stuff, right?
I kind of want to get on She-Hulk just because.
I don't like Hulk as a character, but...
What? You didn't like The Good Wife? One of the greatest legal dramas of all time.
The only legal show I like so far is Lincoln Lawyer.
Lincoln Lawyer is good, man.
Suits is dope, too. Suits had me thinking I could actually do this shit.
This is boring.
This is bad, man. Suits got bad after like the second season. It's like, how long can this situation go on for?
You know what's a good show? Underrated Goliath on Amazon with Billy Bob Thornton. Have you guys seen that? He's a lawyer too.
I've heard of it.
It's a good show, man. Underrated. Underrated.
It's the best profession there is. Obviously.
You want the greatest show that I've seen in the world?
Hey, man, you get to lie. Think about it. You lie every day for a living and don't tell people the truth and overcharge them and make money. It's a great profession.
My client's truth, okay?
Yeah.
A machine can replace you pretty soon. I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll write that.
I need to talk to someone.
Tell me my prescription is, and that's all I need.
And the best is when something goes wrong with your eyes and you can't see the bloody screen. Who are you going to talk to?
That's when I'll need you.
That's not when you need him. That's when you need the doctors.
Then I'll go to the hospital.
Not this guy. You got to go above him longer.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you?
You know it's true.
Yeah, probably. I'll be gone by then. It's okay. I got 10 years.
Let's jump to the other big news.
Be honest, you know, one thing that you talked about when you were talking about Lord of the Rings, you watched it that intently? Like, these character names that are coming up in this show are ringing bells from that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I couldn't make the connection between the movie and these shows at all. Like, there was no Easter eggs, anything for me.
The mines, obviously, you know, the dwarf, the elves. You recognize their names. It's two main characters.
Yeah. I recognize the elves as in a character base, as in a race, but I didn't recognize any names.
So the lady is Kate Blanchett character from the movies. you know, the she looks like a witch in the original
See,
movie.
This is how Same. Unattentively I watched the movies that none of this is familiar. I'm like, who's
have you? Did you not make a connection about who the
this guy watched Two Towers because he felt like, yo, this is wartime. That's all he watched. I guaranteed. That's it.
I kind of did. I thought it would be
one
expression in his head. He's
one
like,
commonality,
that, right?
Between the two shows, I want to bring up, and fuck, I need to put this in a way that the woke crowd doesn't kill me. So hear me out.
Oh, don't do it.
How
don't,
do you guys feel?
Don't do it.
No,
just do it.
Look, so, I like
left
I
devil
like,
here and another devil here. Do it.
Okay, so I like how it's gonna merge together. I like how they have minorities on the show now.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I didn't realize it didn't even come to my mind back in the day when I was watching, you know, Game of Thrones and Lord of the Ring, that they didn't have any, you know, brown guys, black guys, Chinese guys, nobody on it, right? Now they have it and it sticks out to me. Like it's in my face. Okay. And it was just throwing me off a bit.
Why?
I was like, this is not the Lord of the Rings world. This is not Game of Thrones. Like the Valyrians. Like he has the cool white dreads and all that. It was throwing me off. I was like, were Valyrian guys black guys? I can't remember if it was like then the show. And it was like, oh yeah, no, there were no black guys in other than
no,
like
no, there were. Which there were. There were.
No, on the other side of the sea.
But that's the where they're of, from.
Yeah, the Valyrians.
Oh, right. You're right, actually.
It's all dumb. But this the whole story went down in flames.
Yes. Yeah, but no, Lord of the Rings.
He's just being racist. Lord,
yeah, that's what I heard.
That's I all heard. Right.
He's like, I saw a black guy in Game of Thrones and I was offended. I was seeing him in High Castle.
There's a Sardar in a scene coming up too, don't worry. But it's cool. Like, it's cool that they're doing that. But I guess I was trained to just think that these worlds were white. And now it's so obvious and oblivious to me, like, because the change is so in your face. Did you guys notice it as well? Or was it like...
No, just you, brother.
In the background, you didn't even notice the change.
Did not even notice. Didn't pay attention to it.
I noticed it in a positive way. Like, oh, they should have done that. And Lord of the Rings is funny. It's a fantasy world. So people are getting upset about it. Oh, this is a European... It has elves, dude. Like, and dwarves. Yeah. Like, wait. It'd be different. And I think my thing with Lord of the Rings is, Game of Thrones would be that if they were showing different races and different cultures originally in the story, right, like two countries clashing all the time, then I'd be okay with it. But I would want to see more diversity in that way. If that's how the story was, they're like, oh, you know, well, you're not supposed to have this. Well, then put more stories like that in where you can show diversity. There's nothing wrong with it, but the flack that they're getting for it, that's a bit.
I've never even seen the flack. Is there flack?
No, but yeah, but it's like Star Wars when what's the guy's name? John, Finn? Whatever's the, no, the,
know,
the
yeah.
When people thought he was a Jedi, they lost their minds. Then they went after the Asian
the Chinese
girl. For what? For just being in the series? Like, it's just, you know.
Wait until they realize there's an Indian chick in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, even the show Obi-Wan Kenobi, the villain, the girl, same thing with her. People were given. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't bug me.
You know what's bugging people right now? The one that I caught was Little Mermaid. They're making Little Mermaid brown now.
Who cares? It's a
it's
mermaid.
It's pissed off a lot of people. They're like, mermaids aren't brown. I'm like, what the fuck? Mermaids aren't real, buddy.
Wouldn't a mermaid be brown, though? Like, anytime they come up, they're just getting so much sun. There's no shelter other than the water. Wouldn't they be tan? It just makes sense.
But on the flip, would you guys be okay with Aladdin being played by a white guy?
I just laughed like fucking... Yeah, wasn't he?
No, he was a brown kid who played Aladdin in the live-action movie.
I think the cartoon.
But it's funny how we think like that, right?
No, they're basing Aladdin out of like the...
You can distinguish that. You can definitely distinguish that. That's different.
Because it's not a mermaid.
Should I explain it? Yeah, it's not make-believe. It's actually like taking place in the Middle East. It's like, that's where it's set.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like King Arthur can't be brown. We all agree King Arthur can't be brown. Because it's set in England. It's set in England. Okay?
That's true.
It's like that Aladdin can't be white.
Going back to that, then, Game of Thrones is based on the War of Roses or whatever back in the day. The Tudors were battling in England. It was all white people then in England. It makes sense that when you cross a narrow sea, it's where you start to see the brown people and stuff like that. And like Sanspear, they had brown people there, that, what I guess would be Spain in the War of Roses. whatever, Dorne, whatever that place is called. Like, it makes sense that they had brown people there, but England was white.
I don't think they had dragons.
Nah, man, had dragons in real life. Come on, what are you talking about?
Dragons aren't real?
But yo, the dragons in fucking the Game of Thrones shows are sick. Except it's kind of weird because
no, not the first few seasons. Weren't they horrible? The CG was so bad.
You thought they got better
as the budget went up, it gets better. Yeah.
No. In this one.
You're on this one. Okay. Yeah.
In this one, but there's one thing that's kind of bugged me. Spoiler alerts. I hold on. Are you guys caught up to or no?
Yes, I only saw two episodes. I gotta watch the third one. So
I guess I won't go into spoilers. So I have some. All right, let's talk about it when you guys catch up. Because I have some questions about these dragons.
Why are you guys so interested in a prequel? I'm just curious.
I just like dragons, man.
I like that universe.
Yeah, I like it all. I like that universe way more right now than I do anything coming out of the Marvel universe.
But see, that kind of takes the even Star Wars? Lord of the Rings. It kind of takes the for Star even Wars? What
that universe here.
Star Wars universe is weird because I Marvel? Like it, but I don't like what they've done with the.
Oh man, Sanjay's brother's gonna lose his shit when he hears this.
He just woke up. He's coming over here right now to yell at Shinda.
Boba Fett was horrible, man.
He just woke up? Why did he wake up now?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
We're getting a bit long tooth today, so I'm going to push on the last big move before we bug Shinda to release this ASAP. Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. By the way, we've been on summer mode for the last 2 weeks. It's mostly Robbie and his trips.
100%.
That's why we couldn't record.
No, man. I was busy with weddings. Fuck. Schedule just did not align. We try to shoot on Fridays, and if we can't record on Fridays, we try to record Sundays. And if we can't record Sundays, we make an excuse to try and record Mondays, and then we push it to Monday. And Monday, I'd be like, yo, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna get this done till Wednesday.
Who's we? This is you making excuses.
It's me making the excuse. Us pushing it. We've been
busy. Before we get into this blame game, guys, PP, he's done it.
Hey, my boy did it. Hands up.
Congratulations, Shinda.
Congratulations.
You are now.
And Ranji, you as well. You and your truckers must be very happy.
Truckers? No. There was not a truckers protest. We are nice, simple, middle ground people, okay? I bet you guys are in their pocket. You and your lobby group.
All right, I'm going to be quick on my thoughts on this just because I like wanting to share my opinion because I think it's very valuable to the world. It's kind of interesting. PP1 got like 60% of the vote, had very little vote coming from the cities, which was like, I think some cities only had 200 friggin' votes cast total. So as soon as Brown was out, that race kind of melted away from all the members Brown made. So I think Brown did have quite an impact in the cities because that's where his campaign focused on making members. During PP's, it's not even a concession speech, but his victory speech, he kind of acknowledged that he is going to be focusing on trying to like recruit those conservatives back into his base and just kind of serve them because he knows that's where he's weakest right now.
That's in the speech of everybody who gets elected as leader. They're going to put everybody in the tent.
We're one team, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the same thing.
But for me, it's more of an acknowledgement that he realized that that's an area that he kind of...
You give him too much credit, my friend.
Yeah.
Way too much credit.
Look, yeah. He's
one of the most greasiest looking politicians. He just looks guilty. Look at him. He's greasy looking. I don't know.
All my politicians should leave politics in the way. There's only one way politicians should leave politics, and that's in handcuffs.
You said this every 3 weeks, and it's always in reference to a friend. Okay, let's stop doing that.
So.
Every 3 weeks you get to this. Every 3 weeks you bring up.
I love that quote.
He just loves PP. So will you vote for PP?
Versus Trudeau, yeah, hell yeah.
Just because it's conservative liberal.
If he changes his tone, if he's like, psych, I'm actually like.
Okay,
middle.
So what if his like main team is like batshit crazy? Then what?
Sometimes you just gotta introduce some chaos into the world.
Really.
Yeah, we tried that in the U.S. That didn't really go too well.
How'd that work?
We had a great 4 years out of it.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, we got some content. Yeah.
Look, man.
Dude, it was like the season of 24, man. The president is going against the fucking country. Like, what the hell is happening here?
You could really just hear don't. That clock going off every day.
I loved watching the news just because, like, what did he do now?
So, look, man, I don't. It's not as gloom and doom for me as, like, look, Trudeau just hasn't done a good job. Can we acknowledge that at least?
On what basis?
On which any points? Basis.
Oh, come on. Not everything is bad.
Hey.
What has he done that you
enjoy? Wait. Shinda's right. Look at what our Bank of Canada has done. They've done what every single country all over the world has done, but he's
well,
here.
Let's get rid of the Bitcoin. Let's bring in Bitcoin.
Inflation is only a Canadian problem. Yeah. Fuck him.
Buddy, man, you don't understand. I've been so fucking locked out of doing any sort of crypto trading ever since the Ontario SEC and the Canadian SEC equivalents or whatever locked down investment from these exchanges. I was like, fuck.
Okay, yeah, but
he's gonna solve that.
I don't know, man. I think things Trudeau's done wrong, but I mean, what has PP done?
Nothing yet.
He hasn't. He's not a career politician. Like,
he's won like six times or some shit, eh? His pension's insane.
Pension, man.
Yeah, his pension's fat. Look, he's a care if he loses.
Y'all. Look, I can see that PP may not be the smartest or sharpest tool from the box. And maybe he's just another tool, but at the same time, he's a different tool.
From the box, from the whole fucking hardware store, from the box. There could have been a lot of other people you could have selected. He's just...
Look, for the good of Canada...
For now.
For the good of Canada, I want to get this government out, this Liberal government out, have them reevaluate themselves as a party, get a new leader coming in, figure that shit out. And then we'll talk. But we got to reset it a little bit.
Man, they could have picked anybody. Why'd they pick him? Sure, he would have been great.
He makes him unelectable, in my view, as like, he is right now. He's going to have to really change. Changes. Yep.
Millennials love him, brother.
Millennials don't vote.
Jagmeet's base is a big chunk of it's gone to PP, which is a weird twist, but it has. That's. People who were rah-rah hope for Jagmeet are now rah-rah PP.
Yeah.
I think we're underestimating
this. I don't know. I think what you're... If you know that one crew and you think like that's how the rest of Canada is, no, I don't think the NDP camp is going to run in flocks to PP. And that's
typical. Not the NDP normal. Flock.
I think if anything, PP getting elected will freak those guys out. And drive him out of the NDP and into Trudeau's arms. I think Liberals, we've talked about this 100 times. Let's just go back to it. They're loving this. They're loving the polarizing figure that he is.
Yeah.
Chere would have been killer. But PP gives him a strong chance to get probably fucking majority at this point.
That's what I was going to say. Hot take, majority's coming for the Liberals in the next election.
Just because of this. Unless he fucking does psych. I'm actually getting the crazies out of my tent. And I'm not gonna make
sure. No, but it's the city.
What he really
wants
to do is say, "Hey, you are the crazies. You are the logicals. Let's just all get along and get rid of Trudeau."
You just said it. You said his initial voter count out of the cities was very poor, if anything.
But like that's because I had two votes. I made two votes for the party during this thing. Once PB was gone, I'm like, "Look, PB's gonna win it. Fuck with voting. Give it to him, right?" Okay. So I feel like even though we say the low voter turnout. Sure, I wasn't. I mean, there's a level of laziness. Level like, man, I don't want to do this paperwork. PP's gonna win. Fuck it, take it.
Yeah, but what if you think that at the election and he doesn't win?
No, but then it's easier to vote at an election than it is for a friggin' conservative leader. I had to go photocopy copies of my ID, write a friggin' letter, mail it in, go to the mailbox. It's so much easier to vote in a general election than it is like conservative leadership, man.
Yeah. Bust a ballot to mail in, get it in the mail, send it back. Yeah. I don't know, man. I, my opinion of this whole matter is that those center conservatives are either not going to show up to vote or they're going to show up and vote liberal. The NDP voters, there's already a lot of NDP voters that are vocal on Twitter and social media that are talking about going liberal just for the sake of making sure he doesn't win. In my opinion, the Conservatives shot themselves in the foot when they elected Scheer as their leader. They should have gone with Peter McKay. Peter McKay would have won the last election, and honestly, he would have been great for this country. He was a very sensible leader, sensible politician. He would have done a lot of good things for us, fiscally speaking, but I can't see it. I can't see a country, an election with Yurpaliyev winning. It doesn't add up to me. Now, the thing that really confuses me is all these brown people that are really all over him. Like, yo, man, he's right there shaking hands and hugging the white supremacists. Like, what the fuck are you guys thinking? Yeah, this guy right here. This guy.
This guy. They're pointing at the record show. They're pointing at Shinda.
This guy.
Look, man. You guys want to vote for a guy that literally fucking painted his face black and put on an Aladdin pug and was taking pictures with Siddharth.
Yo, I told you, he's a makeup artist. All right? He's a drama teacher. It's part of his craft.
Daisies don't think anything was wrong with it either.
Have you watched those old Bollywood movies with the blackface? They did all the time. They don't.
Don't let the mainstream media convince you that one person's good and the other person's bad. They're just trying to polarize you two into two completely distinct camps.
I would say by chance Pierre wins, I would be shocked him winning a second term. By chance he wins. Let's just say the country gets to a point. I don't see it.
Let's rewind this. Did you see Ford becoming Premier of Ontario at any point?
Who did they kick? They kicked out Patrick Brown, right?
After Brown.
Yeah,
I did not see Ford becoming a leader of the Brown.
After Brown, yeah.
After Brown, Brown, yeah. And Kathleen Wynne was so, her numbers were like
everybody so bad.
They were going to win for sure. It wasn't like some special victory for their party. Everybody was anti-liberal at that point. That just hasn't happened on the federal level.
As a competitor, like, come on, Del Duca's not winning the election. Like, look at the Liberals. They've been a shit show ever since, provincially speaking.
And NDP is NDP. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man. All I'm saying is you got to put some respect on Pierre's name because that's going to be the future Prime Minister of Canada. And we're going to say God save the King.
He's giving himself 3 years to fuck up is basically what I'm taking away from the situation. He got 3 years to keep it clean and he's not going to be able to do it. He's going to lose himself somewhere in the next 3 years. That's a sure bet. As good as a bet as Breaking Bad being like a top 12 show maybe.
Oh. Yeah, he's gonna say some shit like, yo, let's rethink this same-sex marriage shit. And then,
like Andrew shared
and abortion. And abortion,
and abortion, that's it. And then Shinda's gonna be all over it.
He's gonna
have to eat that one. He's gonna have to eat that L like a Cincinnati bagel study, Bengals study.
I don't know, man. Pierre got those truckers, so we'll see what old strong truckers.
Don't say that shit.
All right, boys. It was a pleasure as always. Let's try and do this again.
Hong Kong, Hong Kong.
Thanks for coming out.
Thank you, Sandra.
I apologize for my friends here. They're lowbrow and all that guys.
Says the guy really, with the unibrow.
You really classed up the show today. Thanks, Sanj.
Thanks, Sanj. Thank you, Sanj. Actually, it was great.
Always happy to join finally. Let's do this again sometime.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Peace.
Later, boys.
Peace.